You are listening to Grandpa Lampshade on RadioArian.com.
Get in, buckle in, get comfy, hold on, because it's going to be a fun ride. That's right, it's that time once again, the Church of the Lampshade Show. Your host, Grandpa Lampshade. Glad y'all could join us this week. Another week already flown by. That's right, it's time for installment number, where are we at? 32 installments of the Church of the Lampshade Show and counting. Glad you could join us this week, as always. Thank you. Looks like we have about 6 supporters this week. Much appreciated. We'll start off with Completely Anon Crypto Guy. Thank you, Completely Anon Crypto Guy. And if you want to go the crypto route, we have Bitcoin address. And if you've got some other kind of jank, because there's if you're not into cryptocurrency, there's like almost said 6 million. There's all these different kind of cryptocurrencies, and just if you've got a different kind, shoot me an email. We'll get you a crypto address for that. So there's a whole bunch of different kind of cryptocurrencies, and it's actually, once you get into it, it is kind of intimidating to get started, but once you kind of get into it, it's kind of fun looking into all these different cryptos and what kind of, they all have their own little niche, you know, their own little gimmick they kind of claim and play to. So anyway, yeah, we've got that. Of course, we've also got Snail Mail, which we, you know, the old standby. We got support. Thank you for Brian showing support for the Church of the Lampshade this week. You're in my daily prayers. Please let me know if you have any specific prayer requests beyond what you've already made. And just, yeah, I'm just humble. I really am, you know, and I do. I have days and I look around and it's like, you know, what are we even doing here? You know, I look around at the collapsing society and it's easy to get so discouraged at the overwhelming wave after wave of clown world, and then I receive clarity of what we are doing here and why we're doing it. And I believe your prayers are a part of that, of keeping me on track, you know, keeping me, the Lord keeping me in line. And I very much appreciate it. Totally Anon from New York, thank you, much received and much appreciated. No note in there, so we'll just leave it at that. Greg, keep up the good work. Thank you, Greg. We do. We appreciate it. Got two envelopes from Mr. T this week, because, you know, with the diversity in the post office, sometimes I think they hold an envelope for a week. So sometimes I get two. And it's very much appreciated. Grandpa Lampshade, keeping you in my prayers. Keep up the great work, though. Thank you. And again, y'all are as much a part of it as your humble host, Deb. Thank you, Deb. Love the show. Listening every week. You have great information. It's always something I can use. Keep up the good work. And that's the whole point. The whole point is that we discuss these things, and it's actually useful. I mean, if it's just pure D entertainment, you know, and we do. We have fun. I hope we have fun. I have fun. I think y'all are having fun too. You know, but if it was just pure entertainment, like watching a TV show or something, I mean, it would be shallow and it totally wouldn't be worth the effort of doing it. But the idea that we get, you know, this information and give the listeners, give all of y'all something to think about. And as I always say, you know, this is just the jump off, and the idea is that you'll kind of ponder these things and think on them further. I mean, it's just like a shot of prime to get you started. It's like, well, I hadn't thought about that from that angle. And then, you know, you build on that with your own thinking, and because your mind, just like your body, has got to be exercised. You know, we get so caught up in our day-to-day grind. You go to your job every day, if those some of you that have jobs. And you know, you go to your job every day and you do your day in, your day out routine. We get hung up. We're trying to pay bills. We're trying to figure out how to make everything work. And you get hung up and your brain just gets stagnant. It's just, you know, if you ever seen anybody that, like, you know, is paralyzed, for instance, say they're paralyzed from the waist down, and you see them on TV or you see them go around, you know, and they're wheeling themselves in a wheelchair, and they usually have some guns on them because, you know, they build up their upper body strength having to wheel around on the wheelchair. Of course, now everybody's got these electric mobility scooters, so that's not necessarily the case, but just say they have to wheel themselves and you see these big guns. But if you ever seen anybody that's atrophied, you know, if you ever see somebody that's, say, paralyzed from the waist down, if you ever see them, they don't wear shorts for a reason. If you see them, like, their legs are like the size of this pen I'm looking at, because they can't use them. They don't use their legs. So all of the muscle shrinks up, disappears. I remember one time, many, many moons ago, I broke my foot. I did. I broke my foot. And that whole thing about you can't walk on it if it's broken is a lie, because I walked on that shit for like a day. I worked. Yeah. And finally, you know, I went to a medical person and I said, you know, I think I might have broke my foot. And they're like, really? Have you been walking on it? I said, yeah, I've been walking on it for a day. And they're like, oh, you haven't broke your foot. You wouldn't be walking on it. So go ahead and take your boots off. So I took my boot off, pulled my socks off. And they looked at it and they're like, oh my gosh, you broke your foot. You broke your foot. Like, well, yeah. Yeah, that's what I told you. And so they put me in a cast from the knee down. And then, you know, you go through your 6 weeks or whatever for that to heal up. And then you go back and they get that saw and they cut that cast off. And man, it stinks. Not because they're cutting the cast off, but because you can't wash down there. And it was just a whole 6 weeks worth of funk and stink down in there where that cast is. Those of you that had a cast on, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And that stink. But what really got me is when they cut the cast, they break the cast off. And I look at it, and the first words out of my mouth was, where's the rest of my damn leg? What y'all do with it? Because my calf muscle was gone. It was just like, there's my regular leg. There's my knee. And then there's like this skin covered bone attached to my foot. What the hell is this? Where's the rest of my leg? And the whole point is because it atrophied, because I couldn't use it. And since I didn't use it, the muscle just shrunk up. And our minds are the same way. It really is. And we go through our day-to-day routine and we don't think about things. We don't exercise our minds and our minds atrophy. And it's easy to fall into this rut where we just listen to other people and expect them to think for us. And then the idea of this show is to get you thinking. So maybe as you go through your routine, you can start reflecting back on some of the things we've discussed here and start thinking about what it means and thinking about it further and thinking, oh yeah, but this as well. And it gets your brain exercising and it will make you stronger mentally. And heaven knows, we need all the mental and spiritual strength we can get here in our clown world that we live in. So, yeah, support info, that's all at the bottom of the description page. Encourage you to do so. Obviously, very much appreciated. Also, we got our email address down there, grandpalampshade1@gmail.com. And questions, comments, welcome. We like to use them on the show, if appropriate. If you just send me a troll email, then no, I'm not going to use it on the show. We're not retarded here. But, we you know, if you shoot us some questions, comments, we'll be happy to discuss them. Sometimes I get stuff and people send me questions or comments or whatever, correspondence, if you would. And they're pretty, I classify them as highly personal in nature, and I don't normally use those on the show just because they're personal in nature. Even if I keep you anon, they're so personal in nature that I'm not comfortable. I feel as though I'm taking a conversation between two people and spreading it around. And I don't want to. Yeah, I don't know. It's just part of my highly developed morality and conscience. But we do have a listener question comment. Let's see. Well, this is from Joseph. We got a couple comments here, and we'll run through them real quick. Let's see here. Been listening to Radio Airing close all day the last 2 weeks. Learning a lot. And as a Christian, your show has definitely helped. Well, good. That's what we're here for. Let's see here. First comment. It seems that many common folk that care, which is few, I'll admit, but not non-existent, already see a story on the news like Kavanaugh and then look it up quickly on the internet and learn the truth and realize how much BS mainstream media is. And they do. They have no credibility. The mainstream media, I mean, we had this Kavanaugh story. Well, a classmate of Kavanaugh. I mean, what's the point? by the way, because now the guy is on the court. He has a lifetime appointment. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's like they uncover video footage from the 90s of him banging hookers. They can't do a damn thing. He's a lifetime appointed to the court. So I don't even know where they were going with this story, but they came up with that story. And, a classmate of Kavanaugh saw him in the 80s, drunk at a party, put his dingus in the hands of some passed out young lady. And the young lady, apparently they named her or whatever. Anyway, they asked her and she's like, I don't know nothing about that. I have no idea what the hell you're even talking about. But of course, they ran with the story first. They put the story out there. And then like the next day they went ahead and they were like, oh, hey, maybe we ought to check and like verify that the story's real. You know, like actual journalism. And the woman who was a young person at the time, not young now, and she's like, I have no idea what the hell y'all are talking about. So then they had to go back and do a like a correction, retraction, whatever the hell. But they do. They just blurt out there. They run out there with these stories. I've said this many times, and this is literally where we're at now. As far as journalism go, random ass people on the internet are better journalist sources, better journalists, do better investigative journalism, do better journalism as a whole than this mainstream, so-called mainstream media, the propaganda media. The only reason they have any credibility is because they tell us they have credibility. I mean, yeah, they have these huge platforms, obviously, and they can blast, they just white noise everybody out. But they have so little credibility that essentially nobody believes a damn word they say. But they just say it so loud that everybody just kind of shrugs and go along. But they have no credibility. We're at the point now that random ass people on the internet are better sources for your news information than what you see on TV, what you read in dying newspapers. And the fact that these news organizations, virtually none of them make any money. They lose money. But yet, these corporations keep them on the air. Why? Because they're advertising the agenda. They are performing something, and it's not about making money. I remember when they were like, oh, one of these journalists was talking years ago about being so concerned because the news, you know, there shouldn't be a financial burden for the news to make money because that will influence us in our holy and sainthood duty of proclaiming the truth to the people. And, you know, I guess they saw the writing on the wall that they weren't ever going to make any money. But yet these corporations keep them going. Why? Well, it's not because these corporations have some high-minded ideal that the people deserve this great wealth of truth, you know, that the media is providing. So they're doing another service. They're doing another service, and we know that it's not making money, and we know that it's not providing information and truth. So what is it? It's to try to mislead the people. It's propaganda. It's a really shit-tier propaganda because nobody believes it, but it's really loud propaganda. I was thinking of the old saying from the old Soviet Union. You know, they said, they pretend to pay us and we pretend to work. That's how our system works. And it's like that. They pretend to inform us and we pretend to believe what they say. And that's our media here in clown world. And, that's what they're doing. That's their job. That's the reason these corporations keep them propped up. It is. I mean, you look at Huffington Post, HuffPo. They're owned by Verizon. They don't make any money. So what? Yeah, but they're propped up by Verizon. Verizon owns them. So basically, if you have a Verizon phone, you're a race trader. But so why though? I mean, what, Verizon's not making money off of this, so why do they prop them up? But all of them, that was just to single out one. But all of these media places, they don't make any money. NBC News doesn't make money. The New York Times doesn't make money. But yet these corporations keep them propped up and they keep them going. Well, why? Because they're serving a function that your corporate overlords want you to receive. Isn't it funny? Because the leftists that love these organizations also claim to be like against Wall Street and big corporations. It's like, oh, you got these run-of-the-mill leftists that get their news from these things. And they're like, oh, yeah, man, death to Wall Street. Oh, totally against the big corporations. And this is like the feeding trough that they go to for their shit-tier information is propped up by the corporations at Wall Street that they claim to not be for. And they don't see that they're being played. It's really. It's an amazing thing. It's also reminiscent of, like, you see these commercials on TV and you can't miss them. I mean, it's like every other one, and they prominently feature black male, white female couple. Always that combination. I mean, once in a rare blue moon, you see white male, black female couple, but it's just the overwhelming majority of the mixed race couples that they present to you on these advertisements are black male, white female. Was that going to sell more of their profits, you know, their shit tier products that they imported from China? No. You know, they're cheap crap that's going to break in 2 weeks. No, it's not. I mean, presenting that is not going to make people run out and buy their product. So they're advertising something else. They're advertising black male, white female couple. That's what they're advertising. You may be watching an ad for home appliances, but they're not advertising washing machines. They're advertising a black male and a white female couple. That's what they're advertising, because putting that up there is not going to, I mean, you know, from anybody, I mean, seeing that is not going to make blacks jump up and run and buy their washing machine. And likewise, it damn sure not going to make white people jump up and want to go buy their washing machine. So since you see this constantly, it's not selling the product. I mean, that's the pretense. The pretense is they're selling washing machines in our illustration here. But the reality is they're not. What they're marketing to you is a black male and a white female couple. This is what you need to do. Likewise, that's how so much of this media stuff is. Let's see what else we got here, because we got a couple comments here. Let's see. How do you find groups that give a damn about their community and area? Talking about IRL. My recommendation is always the same. Get as far away from the cities as you can. And if you can't do that, then there you are. Really, I believe that. I don't know. I don't have any magical wand. I mean, I'm sure there are like-minded people in the city as well. But the problem is, you are in the city and you get to weed them out. You got to go through all the diversity and the shit lib left. How do you do that? But if you migrate as far out to a rural area as you can, and that may just be the suburbs, by the way. I mean, you may get to the suburbs. But the further out from the urban area you can get, the more likely you're going to find white people. They may not be like 100% where you are, but I mean, they're like, agree with you on certain things. You can find common ground there. Going around trying to only find people that are like 100%. You know, real right, and they get it on all of the racial stuff and all that. I mean, that's hard to do. You're weeding yourself down to a smaller and smaller group. But you got to find people that are at least on the basics. You know, they get it, you know, on some basic issues, and you find some common ground there, and you build relationships. And when you build relationships and people, you know, you build credibility with one another, and everybody gets relaxed. And what will happen a lot of times is, you know, these people aren't comfortable maybe expressing that in front of you, that they're maybe a little more aware of things than what they initially let on, because everybody's got their guard up. And as you build a relationship and get comfortable with them, you might start banding a little bit and discover that they're a little more woke to these things than what you might initially believe. But the more homogenous an area you get to, and the more farther out of the cities you get to, the better off you're going to be. Let's see. We had one other one here I wanted to look at. Still learning all the JQ stuff. And how do we hate a people that God said he would bless forevermore and obviously has? Well, you need to be listening. You're going to have to go back and listen to more shows, because we've covered this. first off, I say this, and when I say it, I realize that when I say this, it sounds like, you know, some kind of like a, I don't know, like a cop out. Like, technically speaking, but it's the absolute truth. And that is, I don't go around, you know, you shouldn't go around hating, you know, living in a constant state of feeling the emotion of hatred. You know, I mean, you shouldn't. I don't. I refuse to do that. I don't go around my life. I don't wake up every day and just. The first thing I do is have my first cup of coffee. I'm on my second right now, by the way. I have my first cup of coffee and go ahead and stoke up the fires and sit in and sit in a quiet place, enjoy nature, and concentrate on how much I hate the damn Jews. Yeah, that's not what I do. I mean, I do not go through life feeling that way. And again, I realize when I say that, it sounds like, oh, well, you just trying to sound like... No, I really, you should not go through your life feeling that way because, I mean, how does that affect them? It doesn't do anything to them. All it does is affect you, affects your judgment, affects your clarity. It makes you more frustrated. You can't think through things. I mean, you really, there's no point in... going through your life feeling that way. So, and this is a trap where people accept the narratives. You know, this is what our enemies say about us. They just go around hating people. They hate everybody. They hate the Jews. They hate blacks. They're just groups of people filled with the hatreds. That's them. Look at the vitriol. Look at the hatred that comes out of their mouths towards us. They are the ones. Really, I mean, look at when you see these groups, these leftist groups gathering and screaming and throwing things at people. And they're calling the other people full of hate. Look at how demented they look. Look in their eyes. Look at how miserable they are. This is what going through your life day to day filled with the emotion of hatred does to you. It is not healthy. Look at these people. Because again, with them, it's projection. They project that upon us, or that's how it should be. But yeah, that's what they say. And it's easy to get hooked in and buy into that. And, well, I guess I am. I guess I'm supposed to go around feeling the emotion of hatred all day. Why? Well, because my enemies say I do. It doesn't make any sense. Look at these people who are filled with hatred, because it's the communists. And that's who they are. They're communists. The communists are the ones that are full of hatred. And look at them. The twisted, look, the ugliness that comes out because it's coming from within. They have this ugliness within because they're consumed by hatred. They're consumed by hatred of their own status in this world. They're consumed by hatred of society. They're consumed by hatred of the truth. They're consumed by all of this hatred. And it twists them. It twists them inside. They're miserable people. You shouldn't live your life like that. If doing what I did involved going around feeling the emotion of hatred every day, I would find something else to do. I just refuse to live my life like that. It is no way to live your life. If to be aware of these things, go back to being blue-pilled. For goodness sakes, because it's no way to live your life. If the only way you can get up and motivate yourself every day is to be full of hatred, then you're not going to do any good. You just find something else, you know, start a stamp collection or something. So the first part, I thought we'd discuss that because, again, don't accept the narratives of what the enemies say about you. You shouldn't be going around hating people. As far as the rest of it, that God has said he would bless forevermore and obviously has. No, we've covered that multiple times, that the promises for God's people, and it's not the merchant. It is not. And I know you sit there and say, you can sit here and say, well, he obviously has, but no, that's because we live in this world. God does not have dominion over this world. I mean, yes, God can intervene if he so chooses, but right now, this world is fallen. The devil has dominion over this world. You know, when the devil tempted Jesus, he said, I'll give you all of these kingdoms of the world if you'll bow down and worship me. And Jesus, you know, he responded obviously in the negative, but he didn't respond and say, those aren't your kingdoms to give. He just said, no, you don't worship anyone but the Lord God Almighty. So the devil is the one rewarding them. Jesus said, you know, look, if they hate, he told his disciples, and by extension, he's telling you, Jesus warned that, look, you know, what they're fixing to do to me, they hated me first. No servant is greater than their master. They hated me first. They're going to hate you too. Yeah. Yeah, really, he said that. You know, he said they're going to hate you too. They hated me. Of course, they're going to hate you. The Pharisees didn't get crucified. Really? I mean, the Pharisees didn't get crucified. They went back and had wine and enjoyed wealth and status and prestige. So you can't say, look at it. God is obviously, no, the world is blessing them. The world is blessing its own. And again, we've covered this on shows in the past, so we kind of go back and listen to some of the shows we've done before. At some point, you'll come across this, but that's kind of the Cliff Notes version. The world rewards its own. We're not of the world. So, of course, the world is like a body. The world is going to see us as a virus and as a foreign element within it and not like that and attack us. That's to be expected. Christ warned us of that. It's come true over and over and over through the years. And you sit there and say, well, they're doing really good. And that's another thing it brings me to think about. That's a great thing about questions, comments, because it gets me thinking and we get off on other things, which is a little silly. But so often, I mean, we fall into the same trap that everybody else falls into in the world, and we think strictly in terms of money. Oh, we're blessed. Look at them. They're blessed. Why are they blessed? They look like pretty miserable people to me, by and large. Yeah, but they got a lot of money. Yeah, but they're miserable people. You know, they're not happy, obviously. I mean, are they a happy merchant? Or are they not a happy merchant? I don't know, but they don't really look very happy. But we conflate, we always conflate like a blessing with money. Well, God bless me. Why is that? I got an extra $1,000 on my income tax. Well, I mean, that could be a blessing for you. I'm not saying God never blesses you financially. I mean, I've managed to squeak by week because God has blessed me financially. But, I mean, it's not. It's not like that is the end all of every kind of blessing you receive in your life. You wake up in the morning and you enjoy a quiet morning, a cup of coffee, and you observe a couple of birds chirping in the trees, and you notice a rabbit out grazing, and there's nothing around disturbing you. And you feel at peace. You feel at peace in your mind. You feel at peace in your heart. That's a blessing. That's a real blessing. Because you have found a little peace in this world. You found a little quiet for your soul, a little quiet for your mind in this completely chaotic clown world. That's a blessing. You look around and your bills are paid and your family's doing well. That's a blessing. Well, I had to think strictly, well, God's blessing because they've got a lot of money, really? Because it doesn't look like they're really very happy. It doesn't look like they're ever satisfied with anything. So again, we have to look at these things correctly. The world blesses its own, and we are in this world while we're alive. So naturally, of course, the fallen world is going to often reward those that are of the world. That's a completely understandable thing. But ultimately, what you want to remember is God's promise of blessing is for his people, his chosen people. And as a Christian believer, you are chosen through Christ. There is only one way. and just to kind of highlight that, and then we'll get moved on into our sermon this week. We'll get in and fill the pews. If you look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, it's explained, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Because this is what everybody always says, the promises made to Abraham, the promises made to Abraham. It must mean the modern Jews. But really, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. It's spelled out right here, very, very plainly. His seed, singular, Christ. So through Christ, who's the chosen people of God? Ah. No, it must be the ones that executed Christ. That would only make sense. Of course. It's, of course, it makes total sense. It couldn't be trickery. No way. Okay, let's go on ahead and fill the pews. Let's get in here and get centered on our Christian message for this week. Something everybody looks forward to. Each and every one. Fill in those pews. We'll get ready here. We'll get into this week's Christian-specific message here at the Church of the Lampshade. And by the way, one of the things that is important to remember is that we have to always be prepared to go back and explain things. Even though we've explained them, you know, maybe we've talked about them before. You've always, as a believer, you've got to be prepared to go back. Because new people or I encounter new people, whether it's real life or like here on the show, we will get something. And it's like, we've discussed this before, but we'll go back and discuss. You always have to be prepared to do that. Christ, you know, told us this, or the apostles told us this. You've always got to be prepared with the gospel. You always got to be prepared with the truth, even though you've talked about it before. You ever been on like an internet forum, like a normie internet forum, whether it's about, I don't know, whatever you're interested in, cars or whatever. And you have a forum and, you know, this forum grows bigger and you get a pretty decent group there, but there's only so much you can discuss about riding lawnmowers, we'll say. You know, you're on a riding lawnmower forum and they have all these different sections. They've got a section about hot rod riding lawnmowers and they've got a section about just regular riding lawnmowers. And then the zero turn guys, they feel like they're a little better than everybody else. So they're over here in this section, this subgroup of this forum. And you know, this rocks a lot and it grows, but you know, there's only so much shit you can talk about when it comes to riding lawnmowers. So you know, after a while, it's all been discussed. But then you've got new people join the group, and you'd see this, people join you. So somebody joins your riding lawnmower form, and they'll come on there and they'll ask some, you know, entry level question. Well, you know, what's the best way to modify my Murray to get an extra 3 horsepower out of it? And you'll always have these people that would jump in on the forum about use the search function. That's been discussed to death. And it turns people off. It's not like they had anything else to discuss because they've already talked riding lawnmowers to death. But they'll jump in there. You have a, yeah, use the search function, you idiot. Good night. We've talked about this. There's multiple threads. We don't need, oh my gosh, we don't need another thread on how to get 2 more horsepower out of a Murray Rider. Come on. Turns people off. And they don't have anything else to discuss. Anyway, they've talked it to death. So what's it hurt to go back and tell this guy, well, here's a good article on it. And here's what a lot of people have done. You know, but they don't. And as Christian believers, we don't ever want to fall into that trap. We don't want to be the ones like, look here. Good night. We've talked about this before. You get somebody wander in and say, hey, what about, you know, the Jews are God's chosen people? It's like we've talked that to death. But no, we've always got to be prepared, ready to speak the truth, to speak the gospel, to speak these things. As new people arrive and they're like, hey, I like what you're saying. What do you think about, what do you think about turn the other cheek? Well, okay, you know, here we go again. Yeah, we've always got, but it's important. We've always got to be prepared to do that. You've always got to be prepared to go back and discuss some of these things again as a believer, because the idea is you get people interested in these things and you are going to get people and they're going to come along and people are going to, it's inevitable that people are going to come along and ask about things that have been discussed before. They're not going to sit there and go through, you know, umpteen many shows to try to find that information. Yeah, that's what we're here for. It's always imperative that you have to be prepared to go and discuss the truth, to discuss the truth of the gospel. So, that having been said, let's see here. Oh, as I look at our scripture, I realize it kind of actually ties in with this discussion. And, well, it's amazing how that works. So we're going to do, or at least we're going to start with, we'll see if we go from there. I think we'll look at the book of James. We'll start at chapter 5, verse 1. And let's see, they will probably run through verse 8. That'll give us quite a bit to discuss. And this ties in with this notion because, again, it's easy to look at all of these things. As we've been discussing, it's like, well, these people seem to be doing pretty well. Maybe God is blessing them. Maybe God has truly blessed them. This scripture builds on correcting that. So as we start off, book of James, chapter 5, Go to now, ye rich man, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Well, now, wait a minute. If we equate God's blessings simply with wealth, simply with money, then how is it that the rich should go and wail for the miseries that are going to come upon them? Why are the rich being singled out here? I thought that was the epitome of doing well in this world, which is exactly right. In this world, your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth eaten. They're only on the surface. Look at these people there. Think about these people who are wealthy and powerful. Look at, I don't know, Hollywood celebrities, or look at the Clintons. They have more money and more wealth and more power. Rich, powerful. God must have blessed them, but look at them. It's telling us here, their riches are corrupt and their garments are moth-eaten. It's on the surface. Jesus described the Pharisees as whitewashed tombs. They look all white and clean on the outside, but inside they contain dead men's bones. So many of these rich people, you look at them, man, he's doing well, look at that. He bought my dream car like it's nothing. He's doing so well. That's on the surface. Inside, they're rotten. They're corrupted. They're wicked people, full of hatred, you know, full of rage against the natural order, against the world around them. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. You know, everything in this life is temporary. At the end of the day, everybody goes in the box. And that is one of the things of the natural order, that no matter what our twisted society tries to overturn, tries to change, because they do, this society is all about trying to destroy the natural order. Because, again, we're in a fallen world and the devil has dominion here. And so everything is a rage against God. Well, God established the natural order. So, of course, the devil is in constant rebellion of that. So it's not surprising that everything we see here in the natural order, or is in this world, rather, is a rebellion against the natural order. Ultimately, what is the point of marriage? The point of marriage is a man and a woman come together and they produce children. But what do we have in this rebellious, in clown world? We have homosexual marriage. Well, what is that? Two men can come together and create what? Nothing. They can create a child. So what is it? It is a rebellion against the natural order. These are why these things are raised up and celebrated, because this is a reflection. This is what so many people that see clown world but are not believers miss out. I really believe that they miss out on this, because they look at the insanity of the world around us and they look at this crazy clown world and it just, why is it like this? But they miss that aspect of this is part of the rebellion against God. There's, of course, rebellion against the natural order, because who established the natural order? God did. If you don't see the spiritual aspect of it, it does seem like complete insanity, which it is. It's madness, which has come over people. We run around and talk about four-year-olds being gender binary and crazy ass shit like that, and it just keeps accelerating. But it's all a reflection of the rebellion against the natural order. Let's see here. Where are we at? I've already lost a... Yeah, you've heaped your treasure together for the last days. And the point is that you go in the box. This is the one part of the thing. Yeah, that's where I was. I got off on a tangent there real quick. But no matter how much they rebel and they attempt to overthrow the natural order, they can't. But on the surface, it can appear they are doing so. I mean, they've deemed gay marriage marriage, so we all have to go along and pretend it's marriage. But it's not really, because they can't produce a child. It's just a rebellion. It's just a spitting at what God has established, which is the natural order. But the ultimate thing that they can't even pretend to overthrow is the fact that at the end of the day, at the end of it all, everybody goes in the box. The wealthy, powerful, they go in the box. You look at people, I used the Clintons as an example, but there's any of you, George Soros, anybody. They've heaped treasure together for the last days. They have all of this money and they have all of this power and they hoard it and they lord it over others and they just love it. It's never enough. You look at these people, they're old. The box is coming soon. And you would think they would be concerned about that, but they're not. They're just heaping more. They got to have more money. They would probably stiff the waitress out of $1.50 just to add it to their pot. It's never enough. They hunger for it. They're so corrupted by it. They got to have more. Gotta have more. Give me more. But it comes to nothing. I'm not gonna put death off. I try to medically put it off for a while, but it's coming. You're not gonna live forever. No matter how many blood transfusions from children you get, no matter what kind of scientific research you try, you're going to die and you're going to go in the box. Everybody does. The homeless guy in the street with a needle hanging out of his arm, whose life is absolute shit, he's going in the box. The most wealthy, the most powerful, the most revered person on the planet is also going in the box. There's something you don't avoid. Let's see. Verse 4. Here we go. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. They cheated people. This, the hire of the laborers you have reaped, who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. All of this money you've reaped by fraud, by usury, all of this money you have taken from the people, you've hoarded it onto yourselves. You've cheated people. You've scammed people. These people do insider training. They rig the game for Wall Street. They crush the small businessman. They crush the little guy so that they can grow their corporate monstrosity even bigger. They've cheated people. They found a way to keep people. They have found a way to keep from paying people what is owed to them. Cheated people just for greed. And the cries of the laborer have reached the ears of the Lord. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth. Doesn't sound like a blessing to me. Doesn't sound like he's going with a blessing angle here. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Then there's references, they would fatten up a calf. They've got their cattle out there that, they're going to sell or whatever. Because so all of this was written, during a time of an agrarian society. That's something we miss. When the prophets, I'm going to go off on a tangent here, but we'll get back on track. But this important point, whenever you read about the prophets and it says that the prophet prayed earnestly and it did not rain for 3 years. And then he prayed again and the skies opened up and gave rain. I don't have the exact chapter and verse for that. I'm sorry, but it's there. But when you read about the prophets praying that it not rain for 3 years, and we sit there and go, wow, that was a heck of a sign. No, you don't understand what he was praying for. In a completely agrarian society that we're talking about here, if it didn't rain for 3 years, this meant thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people starved to death. Animals died. People died. This was a prayer. A prayer, when you read an Old Testament prophet, he prayed that it would not rain, the earth would not give its rain for 3 years, and it did not. In this type of society, a lack of rain for 3 years meant the prophet was praying for an immense amount of death and destruction and judgment upon the land. It wasn't about whether or not it rained. In our society, we think we're immune from this. We're not, by the way. But we think we're immune from this because of all of our technology and gadgets and things that we have. But in a strictly, agriculturally based society, such as what was then, if it didn't rain for 3 years, you're talking about plague, famine, massive amounts of death all across the land. And yet we miss that. We just think it's like some sort of great sign. Some sort of great sign. Wow, look, it hadn't rained in a while, has it? Whew, sure is dry. Let's go run down here and get a soda. You know, I mean, people died. The prophet was actually praying for massive amounts of destruction upon the land. Gives you something to think about. Now let's get back on track here and see if we can figure out where the... Okay, so yeah, back in these days, they would have their cattle, and they would have these cattle out here, and they're going to sell them. And they're just out there grazing. But they would keep one back for themselves, for their family, in case they had a special occasion. And they would, of course, fatten it up. This calf didn't have to go around foraging for food. They kept it kind of pinned up, and they fed it, so it got fattened up. And the calf, from its point of view, if it could think, you know, beyond just food, you know, it's got a good deal. If bovine were sentient, they would look at the fattened calf and be like, look at that bastard. Man, he's got it made. You know, we're just out here having calves and having to forage around here and graze and stuff. But he gets, they bring him hay. They cut the grass for him and hand it to him. What's up with that silly bastard? You know, really, you're out here foraging food. You look here, you're the cow out there grazing, and you're looking around just trying to find a little bit to eat. And then you wander back up towards the house, and you look at that calf. He's in the pen, and they're cutting the grass for him. They're going out and finding grass, and they got some grain, and they're pouring grain and handing it to him, and they're fattening him up. And you look at that. Look at that spoiled little fat bastard. He's got it made. He's got it made. He doesn't have to go forage around for a blade of grass. He just stands around the pen in the shade and waits for the people to bring him a cup of grain and the grass they went and cut for him. What made him so special? Man, he's blessed by God. Until the day comes, they have a special occasion. Guess what? The fattened calf is like, oh, they're coming to bring me some more grain. What's that thing they're carrying in the hand? They slaughter the calf and they have a big celebration. So, yeah, you know, you've lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You've lived it up. You've enjoyed the grain. You've got all this good stuff. You've got not a care in the world. You're wanton. You're just not a care in the world. Don't care about God. Don't care about other people. Don't care about nothing because I've got it made. I got mine. I don't care who I got to cheat. I don't care who I got to lie to. Who I got to double cross, who I got to break my word to get it, I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get the money. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. You've had people even killed. You've ruined people's lives. You've killed people who were just, and they weren't even coming against you. You just did it because you could. Again, you look at the wealthy, and you look at the powerful. Look at these world leaders. It don't matter. Pick one. It doesn't matter. You can pick anybody who's ever been a president of the United States. And think about the amount of blood on their hands. The immense amount of blood on their hands. It's just like nothing. They give the order and they drop bombs and they kill all these people. Those people really are dying. And there are people that many times they posed zero threat to this nation, zero threat to the ruler himself for damn sure. And yet, you know, somebody having a wedding party in Iraq, they get bombs dropped on, they get killed. But they weren't threatening anybody. They were just having a wedding party, but they get killed. They get murdered. They get mowed down. They weren't even resisting you. They weren't even a threat to you. And yet you killed them just because you could. High on your own supply, high on your power. Think of people who knew too much and they get suicided. Everybody knows they were murdered. Look at the blood that are on they're on these people's hands. And sometimes they do this stuff just because they can. They get high off the very idea that they've got the power of somebody's life and death in their hands. They can give the word. They can give somebody what amounts to pocket change, and they can make that person disappear forever. sometimes even when it's somebody that doesn't even oppose them. They've got nothing to do with it. It's just because they can. Everybody always in this modern world, you know, they attached the word love to God. And that's not, while that's not incorrect, they don't understand what the word means, but they always, you know, love. God's about love. That's what we always hear. Yeah, God wouldn't send anybody to hell because God's about love. But an accurate word you can always attach to the Lord is that he is just. This is illustrated to us in the scriptures time and time again. The Lord is about he's just. What does that mean? He is about justice. He is about setting things right. And at some point in time, he's going to set things right. That's why we have a final, you know, that's why at some point in time, it just gets so out of hand to the point that he rolls the whole exercise up and says, that's enough. At some point in time, the injustice becomes to the level that it can't be. God is about justice. And when you have this huge level of injustice in the world, when because people are simply rich, wealthy, and powerful, they're able to crush the little guy who wasn't even an opposition to. You look at like some big corporation, for instance, and they will crush an up-and-coming business. I mean, that little business was never going to grow to the point to actually threaten what amounts to more than maybe what? Some lost pocket change for them. And yet, they will come in and crush them just because they can. Let's continue. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. And again, this is an illustration from an agriculturally based society. You're out there, you work the land, you put all of this effort in, you plant the seeds, and then the work, then you wait. I mean, then you're waiting. Because, I mean, the seeds aren't going to come up until it rains. They didn't have advanced irrigation like we have now. So you waited. And you waited. And you know eventually it's going to rain someday. It's got to. It's got to rain someday. But you have to patiently wait for that rain. When's it coming? When's it going to be? Well, then you would get an early rain. Then you get a rain. And now your seeds sprout up. And you're like, yes. You look out across and you're starting to see a little thin layer of green everywhere, and your seeds are sprouting. It's coming up. Look good. And they start growing and they get yay high. But now you're going on. Still hadn't rained again. Still hadn't rained. And they're starting to look a little dry, starting to look a little yellow. Come on. Well, then the latter rain comes and you get a rain again. And now they really grow up. And you get that rain and it grows up and then it bears fruit. All of this takes patience. And again, this is an illustration we're being given for this type of society that we have to wait. We have to be patient. That doesn't mean we don't do anything. I mean, we have, you know, again, the man working the land, he's not just doing nothing. He's pulling weeds up. He's doing what he can, but he can't make it rain. The husbandman, the man that's working the land, he's waiting for it to rain, but he has other things to do. He's probably walking around trying to pour like a bucket of water here or there, something, you know. But he's at least walking around pulling weeds. He's finding something to do. And likewise, we do our work. But he can't. He understands his limits. He can go. He did his work. He tilled the land. He planted the seeds. He's pulling up weeds when he sees them start to come up. He goes out there. He built a scarecrow. He's trying to keep the birds from pecking up the seeds. He's trying to keep wild hogs from coming in and rooting stuff up and tearing up the land. He's trying to take care of all of this stuff. But he knows his limit is he cannot make it rain. That is in the hands of the Lord. He cannot make it rain. We should have this healthy approach to what we do as well. We've got our work to do, and we have to do that, but you can't make it rain. I mean, you can do what you can. If you get the opportunity, how many of you sit there and look, if you were sitting there watching this guy working the land in this time, and he's out there and he picks up, plucks a weed, and he's out there and he's sweating his ass off in the sun, and you're sitting there watching him, and you'd be like, look, dude, I mean, really, go sit in the shade. What difference does it make? You plucked up a handful of weeds out there. How much difference does it make? You can't be, it hadn't rained yet. Nothing's going to happen until it rains anyway. What difference does it make? But he's out there and he's plucking the weeds because that's the work he has to do. He's accepted the fact that he can't make it rain. He knows this. He knows he can't really, nothing's going to actually happen until, nothing big until it does rain. But he's doing what he can. He's, these weeds need to be out of here. One way or the other, this work has got to be done, whether it rains or not. The weeds, I can't have these weeds choking out the grain that I planted. That is how our work is. We have limitations what we can do. We have to accept these limitations. If the man working the farm said, well, since I can't make it rain, what's the point of any of it? I can't do this huge thing, so I should do nothing. Then the rain would do no good because when it showed up, then the weeds always grow faster than the grain and he would be so overrun and that nothing would come of it. We have got to do what we can. If we can minister to one soul, if we can get one fellow believer who has started abandoning their faith to come back to it. It's not a small thing. Scripture tells us it covers, you know, saving one soul, bringing one soul to Christ covers over a multitude of sins. It's to say this is a huge thing. It may seem small to you, but it is in the eyes of the Lord, this is a huge thing. If you're, maybe we can only pluck up a few weeds here and there. Maybe we can only make a little difference in somebody's life. Maybe we can only, you know, do just this little bit. And the devil, just like somebody coming along saying, why are you bothering pulling those weeds up? Just like the devil come along and say, that's not enough to make a difference. Don't even bother. Just wait. Whole modern cuck church is centered around, we're just waiting for Jesus to show up. We're just waiting for it to rain. We're going to pull up weeds. Hell, they're out there fertilizing the weeds because they've convinced themselves that the weeds and the grain are the same damn thing. But it's all centered around the fact that we're just waiting for the rain. We're just waiting for Jesus to show up and do it. Any little thing you can do, this is your job. This is your work you've been given. Beware when the devil whispers in your ears and says, that ain't going to make no difference. Why bother? What's that going to change? You're not going to single-handedly do anything. Well, no, nobody does. You have to do what you can while you wait for it to rain. We'll finish up here with verse 8. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You too. He's just affirming what we've just said. You too. Be patient. Get your heart stable. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. At some point in time, you will see justice. At some point in time, things will turn around. Sometimes we see a little bit. Sometimes we see a little bit. But ultimately, victory is promised to us. Victory was achieved when Christ was resurrected from the dead. I mean, the victory was sealed then. But it doesn't mean that the battle, it's like the war was won. When Christ was crucified and resurrected, the war was won. But the battles weren't over. The skirmishes aren't over. I mean, we know that ultimately the outcome, the trajectory of the war has shifted and changed, but the battle rages on. And it's your job, it's your duty to participate. It's your duty to do what work you can, what work the Lord puts in front of you until that time cometh. It says here, stabilize your heart and just relax. Stabilize your heart. Don't be all over the place. Do what you can. You're waiting for the Lord, but do what you can while you're waiting. You know that ultimately the victory is yours, but do the work that you can while you're waiting. This is, it kind of all works together because as you start doing something, you sit there and if you're doing nothing and you're not putting forth any kind of effort or whatever. And because you keep listening to that voice that says, why bother? It ain't going to make a difference. But yeah, I'll just wait until I can do something that makes a difference. That's what I'll do. I mean, when I can do something really big, then I'll do something. And time rolls by and you get kind of unstable in your heart because everything around you seems pointless. If you start doing some of those little things that the devil keeps telling you there's no point to because it doesn't make that much a difference. If you actually start just ignoring that voice and start doing some things, taking some positive steps, you'll actually find your heart kind of settling down. And then you look back and you're like, well, you know, I didn't change the world with that, but I did make a little difference. I did make a little difference in that person's life. I did make a little difference. I did make a little bit of a contribution. I did make a little step forward. One of the things that makes this struggle that we are all in, both on this world, spiritually, and for our people, so difficult, is that so many people are just standing around. So many people are afraid to start taking a step because they're looking to do one big thing. They're looking to accomplish one grand thing. They keep listening to that voice that says, don't do that. Doesn't really matter. Pfft, what's that going to do? What difference is that going to make? Is that going to accomplish anything big? No. So many people, they stand around. They're not doing anything, not accomplishing anything because they won't take those little steps. Because they keep listening to that voice that says, it doesn't really matter. Hope you got something out of it today. As always, great discussion. Thank you for the listener question comment again. And thank you to our supporters. If you want to be a part of that, highly encourage you to do so. It's very much appreciated. Just getting by as best we can here in Lampshade Land. Got snail mail, got the crypto, all of that. Listener questions, comments, whatever. Give a shout. Email's down there too. We're going to wrap it up on that note. We actually didn't go long this week. Imagine that. We won't screw up the network's programming schedule. Yay. And hope you all have a great week. Hope you have a safe week. Keep the faith. We'll be back here next week at the same time for the Church of the Lampshade Show. Until then, we'll see you. Keep the faith.
To the anti-white system on RadioArea.com.